que estaremos platicando en estos momentos con Shanil Virani. Él es un reconocido astrofísico, él es educador científico, ha sido director planetario de dos universidades públicas allá en Estados Unidos, tiene estudios en la Universidad de Yale y además es creador de un podcast llamado Our Island Universe. Así que pues démosle la bienvenida y hablemos de esta misión que comienza el día de hoy. Dr. Shanil Virani, it's such a pleasure to speak with you today. How are you?
I'm doing well, excited. I'm honored to be on.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we've seen a lot of information during the weekend about this Artemis 1 mission from the NASA. And they say that this is no longer the Apollo generation, that it is the Artemis generation. Why is that? What's the difference between Apollo and Artemis?
That's a great question, and I think it gives a really good insight as to what is going on now.
Mm-hmm.
If we look back to the Apollo mission and the race to the moon, it really was, in many sense, a proxy war between the United States and the former USSR, now Russia, of course, as to who could get to the moon first.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened, of course, is the United States was succeeded in putting the first men on the moon, but between 1969 and 1972, while we did send 12 white men, nobody else went. No woman has walked on the moon. No person of color has walked on the moon. And then, as I said, it stopped in 1972 because it was really driven by politics as opposed to science. What's different about Artemis versus Apollo, Artemis is Apollo's twin sister and is the goddess of nature. And so in many ways, it's symbolic of what's happening. NASA has, and indeed the world community with its international partners, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, has ambitious plans to not only return to the moon, to the surface of the moon, but wants to send the first woman, the first person of color. And the moon is a stepping board, a launch pad, if you will, to Mars and beyond. So this is an exciting time.
Okay. Yo le decía que cuál era la diferencia entre Apolo y Artemis, porque justamente lo que dice la NASA es que ya no se trata de la generación Apolo, sino de la generación de Artemis. Y dice, bueno, es algo muy simbólico porque justamente Artemisa es la hermana gemela de Apolo. Dice, desde ahí es algo simbólico. Y dice, la misión de Apolo fue algo que se dio en una época de entreguerra y entre conflicto y de competencia de ver quién llegaba primero a la luna, si los rusos o los estadounidenses. Y justamente esto, bueno, se dio así de Estados Unidos, lo logró, pero entre 1969 y 1972 se dio esto y después nadie llegó a la luna. Y dice, y entonces no ha habido ninguna mujer ni ningún hombre de color que lo haya logrado. Y dice, y justamente eso fue, Apolo también fue muy manejado o fue muy conducido bajo un tema político. Y dice, y ahora de lo que se trata con Artemis, esta nueva misión, que además es una colaboración internacional entre la comunidad europea, la NASA, etcétera, se trata de regresar a la luna y también de enviar a una mujer y también enviar a un hombre de color. So but this this mission, the Artemis 1 or Artemis 1st, they say that it's also a very crucial test, right? And
yeah.
And why is crucial?
Yeah, that's a great point. So in restarting this moon program, of course, NASA had to rebuild a new rocket. That's the Space Launch System. It had to rebuild a new crew capsule, and that's the Orion capsule. And while these have independently been tested, the rocket has been fired in the desert to make sure that, of course, it works. And the capsule has been dropped from high Earth orbit to see how it re-enters the Earth's atmosphere and to make sure it can withstand re-entry. There has never been a test with the rocket plus the capsule on board. And in coming back from the moon, the speed of the capsule as it re-enters the Earth's atmosphere is much higher. And that, of course, means the temperatures that the capsule will experience with the astronauts on board when they return from the moon will be much higher. And so this is an engineering test. It's launching the rocket with the capsule. It's going to the moon, and it's a 42-day mission if it does launch today. And really what they want to see is this vehicle, is the rocket plus capsule, mm-hmm. is it ready for humans? Mm-hmm. Can it be safe for humans to go to the moon? So this is the first but critical test. If it does launch today, and currently we're in a holding pattern, due to an engineering issue with one of the rockets, which they're trying to solve. But if it does launch today, then it'll be the first critical step in returning to the surface of the moon.
Mm, okay. So this will hopefully land to the moon, right?
No, this is not going to land on the moon. No, it's going to go to the moon and it's going to orbit it.
So
it's going to
orbit.
Yes. So there are three Artemis launches that NASA has planned. This is the first, as you said, Artemis 1. Mm-hmm. Artemis 2 is scheduled for, if all goes well with Artemis 1, of course, mm-hmm. it's scheduled for 2024, probably 2025 in all likelihood. And that will have four astronauts on board, including an astronaut from Canada, a Canadian space astronaut. An astronaut will be one of the four inhabitants. And that will orbit the moon. So that'll be the first time we'll send humans to the vicinity, to the area near to the moon. Artemis 3 is the mission that's scheduled to touch down at the moon's south pole.
Ah, okay, okay. Okay, entonces, vamos a ver. Primero yo le decía que lo que dicen es que este lanzamiento de Artemis 1 es crucial, es una prueba crucial, una prueba crítica, y que yo le decía, ¿por qué dicen que es esto? Y dice, bueno, porque justamente este es un nuevo cohete que se ha diseñado, y dice, ha sido probado en el desierto. La cápsula se llama Orión, y esta también ha sido probada por su parte, la han lanzado desde alturas para ver el tema de la velocidad con la que llega, con la que aterriza y todo esto, y dice, también la cápsula ha sido probada, pero nunca han sido probadas las dos cosas juntas, el cohete con la cápsula, y dice justamente por eso es que Artemis 1 es tan importante, dice, porque justamente cuando se regresa del espacio exterior, y en este caso desde la Luna, la velocidad que se alcanza cuando se entra a la atmósfera terrestre es tan alta que es justamente lo que hay que probar, que los cuerpos y que sea resistible para quien esté viajando de regreso. En esta misión no va a haber tripulantes humanos, va a haber solamente maniquís, y bueno, dice también que por eso se trata de una prueba muy importante en términos de ingeniería. Si todo sale exitoso el día de hoy y puede despegar Artemis 1, entonces será una misión de 42 días. Después yo le decía, entonces va a aterrizar en la Luna, y me decía, bueno, alunizar, y me dice, no va a alunizar, se trata solamente de que orbite alrededor de la Luna y después va a regresar. Para el 2024-2025 está programado Artemis 2 o Artemis 2, y ahí justamente lo que va a suceder es que ya van a ir cuatro astronautas, entre ellos uno canadiense, y también van a orbitar solamente la Luna. Y si todo sale bien, entonces para la misión de Artemis 3, entonces ya estaríamos hablando de que ahora sí se alunice nuevamente, pero eso sería, bueno, ya posteriormente. This is also a mission that took more than 10 years in all the plans and the development.
Right.
So why 10 years?
That's a good question too. So you know, we had a vehicle before the space launch system that allowed access to low Earth orbit. That was, of course, the space shuttle. But the space shuttle was an old, aging fleet, and it was decided in 2010 during President Obama's term that the space shuttle would no longer be used. And in turn, we'd create this new rocket, this space launch system. And so that program was created in 2010 with the plan initially that these launches to the moon and returning to the moon would begin in 2016. So you're right, it's now, of course, 2022, it's 6 years later. As it, of course, happens is you have ambitious plans, there are a lot of engineering work that has to be undertaken, and that caused delays solving problems that the engineers face in creating a new rocket and creating a new capsule. And then, of course, with the economy, there are budget issues that also caused the delay. So you're right, it's 12 years in the making, but we're here, finally.
Dicen que esta misión justamente tomó 10 años. ¿Y por qué? Yo le decía, ¿por qué tomó 10 años? Y dice, bueno, porque justamente todo esto, los planes comenzaron desde el tiempo de Obama, pero después se decidió que no se iban a utilizar elementos que ya existían, sino se decidió construir un nuevo cohete y una nueva cápsula. Y entonces eso generó retrasos, tanto de diseño como también en términos de presupuesto. Y entonces, pues bueno, estamos aquí 12 años después, ya por fin teniendo todos los resultados de lo que se trabajó en estos 12 años. Okay, and finally, you also mentioned at the beginning that this was a very politics-driven mission, mainly the Apollo one. So this
right.
one with the war with Ukraine and Russia, do you think that this has something to do with this launching today or with this? I mean, not the launching, but you know that this is also today this mission related to politics and this war or this, I don't know, leadership campaign between the USA and Russia?
So it's an interesting question. Of course, you know, when the program, the Space Launch System and the Return to the Moon program was announced, it was well before the war in Ukraine. And the launch date, this launch date was well already on their calendar before the war in Ukraine was initiated. So I don't think there's a linkage that way. I think in the sense that, you know, these kinds of missions do have a political lens to look through. I for me as an astronomer, as somebody who is passionate about space and the exploring of space, and particular about humanity's purpose, you know, should we be going, I think it serves to remind us that we live on one planet. You know, if there was an alien, for example, that looked at Earth, you know, the borders that we construct would not have any meaning to them. We're all inhabitants of planet Earth. We all live on one Earth. And so I think it does have an impact that way. And I hope, I would sincerely hope that, you know, as we begin journeying to the moon and beyond, you know, we begin to look back at our responsibilities that we have towards one another and to our own planet. We only have one home.
That's an interesting comment, because that was only another of my thoughts. I mean, it's like our sight and our intentions and our objectives is out there, and what happens with our mother, right? Our mother Earth.
Yeah.
So let me translate this part.
Yeah.
Yo le decía justamente que si creía él que estuviera ligado a la cuestión de la política con este lanzamiento, dado que también lo de Apolo, bueno, él mencionaba al inicio que tenía que ver justamente con esta carrera o esta competencia entre la URSS y Estados Unidos cuando fue Apolo, y que si ahora tenía algo que ver la guerra contra Ucrania y esta competencia política entre Rusia y Estados Unidos. Y él decía, bueno, esta misión estuvo en el mapa desde mucho antes de que surgiera la guerra contra Ucrania y tal. Dice, entonces, no creo que haya una liga entre eso, o no que estén ligados, pero definitivamente siempre hay fines políticos en todo esto. Dice, mi objetivo ahora y lo que yo siento que es relevante para que la gente observe es que con este lanzamiento, pues sí, estamos construyendo algo para ir al espacio exterior, pero también mi esperanza es que mientras estamos más con la mira hacia la luna, pues también estemos de regreso viendo lo que sucede aquí en nuestra casa. Solamente tenemos un planeta, solamente esta es nuestra casa, y también deberíamos estar viendo lo que sucede por acá. So how can we learn from this mission, and how can it teach us something to start caring even more our planet?
Oh, that's the, you know, that's the priceless question. There is no magic solution, I fear. You know, one of the great success stories that did come back from Apollo is an image called Earthrise, and it was a picture that the Apollo astronauts took of seeing the Earth rise above the moon surface. We're all used to seeing the moon or the sun rise while on Earth, but that was a vantage point. That was a view that we got to see of our home. And my hero when I was a kid, when I was a child growing up in Toronto, was Carl Sagan. And he referred to, you know, the Earth as the pale blue dot, the blue marble, as you can see from space. And that image, that one particular image, in many respects, started this environmental movement, this movement to how we treat our planet, how we take care of our planet. And that was unanticipated. That was not expected, of course. That was an image that was lucky to get, but it had this transcendent effect. And so who knows what impact that these launches will have. But, if you look at the story of our species, us as an animal on planet Earth, you know, we don't know when our first ancestors left Africa, but they did. We don't know when our ancestors first crossed the ocean, but they did. But we will always know the date when they stood on the moon, and that was, of course, July 20th, 1969. And I am convinced, to historians of the future looking back at this time that we're currently all living in, they will look at the 21st century as that time, that period in human history, where we began our first real journey to the stars. You know, all of these things have finite lifetimes. You know, the Earth is 5 billion years old, roughly, and our species is roughly 250,000 years old. If our species is going to live and grow, we have to leave Earth, we have to explore, but that's our nature, I think, is exploration.
Exploration, exactly. Okay, yo justamente le decía que qué nos puede enseñar toda esta misión para el tema del cuidado de nuestra madre tierra. Y entonces dice, cuando surgió Apolo, cuando estuvieron la misión de Apolo, hubo una imagen muy famosa sobre cómo es que salía el sol y cómo se veía el sol en la tierra, en el planeta tierra. Y dice, justamente ahí cuando yo crecía en Toronto con Carl Sagan, pues justamente se empezó a mencionar acerca de este punto azul en el universo, refiriéndose al planeta tierra. Y también ahí fue cuando comenzó más, de una manera más contundente, el movimiento medioambiental, y se trata y tuvo un efecto trascendental, algo que fue fortuito, el tener la suerte de conseguir esta imagen. Y dice, y justamente me parece que esto es parte de la historia de nuestra especie. Hemos tenido, no sabemos cuándo las personas o los humanos hicieron determinadas acciones, como por ejemplo, no sabemos cuándo fue realmente el momento en el que los del continente europeo, bueno, los de aquella parte del mundo, cruzaron el océano y llegaron a esta parte. No lo sabemos con certeza cuando nuestros ancestros hicieron todos estos caminos o estos hitos, digamos, en la historia de la humanidad, pero de eso se trata. Y dice, creo que justamente el siglo XXI va a ser un siglo en el que las personas que lleguen al futuro en esta tierra, pues van a ver al siglo XXI como el momento en el que realmente comenzó el viaje hacia las estrellas por parte de los humanos, ¿no? Que los humanos comenzamos nuestro viaje a las estrellas. Y dice, y justamente creo que de eso se trata. Si nuestra sociedad o si nuestra especie va a crecer, pues también está entre nuestras bases, pues el explorar, el salir a explorar. Y eso es justamente lo que estamos haciendo. Okay, Shanil Virani, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for this interview. I wish we could talk more time on the air. And we are already following this launching on the YouTube on the NASA channel here, right, on YouTube. So we will be aware of what is happening. And thank you so much for these insights.
Thank you for having me on, and it was an honor to be with you this morning.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.